Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that, especially in 2020, we've been challenging leaders to get back to the heart of discipleship and teaching kids the basics of who God is and what He's done for us. And so this fits right along with that theme that we've been talking about over the podcast in these last few episodes, as we want to help kids really get an understanding of who God is, because we've seen it in the media even recently with a couple of celebrities that have walked away from their faith. And it's just been devastating to see those kind of things. And part of it, I do think, is they just didn't have the core. They didn't have the relationships around them that they needed. And so that's why I think these kind of topics are super important. And I'm excited to have Mike Johnson back on the podcast with me, because one of the things that he has going right now is a new project with I See It Productions and a new curriculum for Easter. But what's more important even than the curriculum is what it's talking about. And that's what I'm excited about to share with you guys today on this episode, is to help kids understand who God is and how He can be real to them. And so I'm excited to dig into this, because I think it's going to be really great. Mike, welcome back to the KMC.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, excellent, man.
Good.
I think this is going to be such a good podcast, for the fact that we're going to talk about three characteristics of God that oftentimes, yes, I don't think a lot of curriculums really dig into. And yeah, I think it's really important that we do.
Well, I think that's because when you think about them, or you hear their official names, you know, they sound a little bit too much to tackle when you're talking about kids. But yeah, in fact, I think the exact opposite is true.
Right. Amen. Amen. And I think you've got a great way of teaching it. So I can't wait to dive into this, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what you call the Omni Brothers, which I think is great. And because really at the core of our faith is understanding God's characteristics of omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. Why is that so important that we dig in on something like that? Because like you said, people hear those three omnis and go, oh, there's no way kids can understand that. Why would I teach that to them?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. I can't take credit for the Omni Brothers. I'm in my 50s now, which is hard to believe, but that goes all the way back to Sunday school. So somebody up in Anaconda, Montana, introduced me to the term the Omni Brothers, which helped me, I guess, when I was developing foundationally, to grasp the concept of the three brothers, the omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence of God. And but yeah, I think it is incredibly vital, because it's the very root. It tells us all about who God is. And obviously we've talked in the past about the importance of that foundation that we're laying in the lives of kids. And a lot of misconceptions about who God is and what He can do, and certain elements of His personality, His being, can get out of whack. I mean, we get information from all sorts of crazy places that we probably shouldn't get information from. And so to be able to understand these three components, that God is all powerful, that God knows everything, and that God is everywhere, I kind of take it for granted, because that's what I was taught when I was little. So I always knew that, but that's not the case. And very rarely, I think, anymore, if you were to ask kids about those three things, they might have an answer, but more than likely, they probably wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. And I think even a lot of leaders would struggle, because sadly, we don't talk about it even in big room sometimes, so to speak. And shame, we ought to be teaching is and preaching these all the time. But I think sometimes they're not emphasized that much. And so I think a lot of people are scared of that. And so I do think it's important that, and so, you know, when we dig into this idea of omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, and like I say, call it them the Omni Brothers. I love it. I think that's fun. when it comes to breaking it down for children, why do you feel that those things are so powerful for kids to grab onto?
Sure. Well, it's just, I think it'd be good just to take a really brief look at each one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at God's omnipotence, which is that he is all powerful, what a great thing for kids to be able to comprehend and discover. And, you know, even as a young preschooler, you understand that there are things that are more powerful than you in this world. And oftentimes those things that are more powerful, some can be gentle, but oftentimes they're often things that we're afraid of. And to know that ultimately we have someone on our side who is more powerful than anything we might face in this world, is a big concept and an important concept to understand. I mean, even for a 3-year-old to understand that I have someone with me who is more powerful than anything. Now, what exactly a 3-year-old is completely grasping out of that can be debated, but I do believe that you're setting the framework in a child's mind of, I am not very powerful, but I know someone who is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And as they grow up, then obviously they're going to develop a little bit better understanding of the power of God. And as they do, then obviously it's going to give them a lot of confidence, a lot of assurance that what they're doing in life has some pretty big force behind it. Mm-hmm. And if God has called you to do something, he didn't call you to fail, because he is all powerful and there's nothing that he can call you to do that will ultimately be too big for you. I mean, you look at some of the great stories of the Bible that I like to teach around omnipotence, and you look at the parting of the Red Sea for the Israelites and Moses. Uh-huh. You look at obviously God closing the mouths of the lions in Daniel in the lion's den, saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, God or Christ appearing with them in the fire, Paul's miraculous deliverance, you know, from prison by an angel. All of those situations, you look at them on the surface, if you were back in those days and you think, this is impossible. God has called us, God called us or me to do something that I see absolutely no way can happen. But these stories give strong illustration that there is something, someone who can provide a way to make something happen that he wants to happen. And that's obviously God. And no problem is too big for him. You know, it says in Jeremiah 32:17, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you.
Yes.
And man, talk about going out and being world changers or risk takers for Christ. That will only happen if you truly understand the power of God and that you've got an incredible force, so to speak, on your side, which is the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. And I think every kid needs that as a bedrock of their faith.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, in this world where there is constant chaos and fear and doubt, to know that, like you said, no problem is too big, and that God, you know, we teach the kids that little song, you know, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing yes. my God cannot do.
Amen.
But we really need to make that become more real to them, because it is truth, with a capital T.
Amen.
They can grasp their hands around that. And so I think laying that out and explaining to the kids who God is and that he is omnipotent, That's fabulous.
And I think too, you know, when you look at the life that God has planned for each and every person on this earth, ultimately begins when we accept Christ as our Savior. That plan is not a boring plan. That plan is not a plan of playing it safe. It's a plan of victory. It's a plan of challenges. It's a plan of reaching people for Christ and growing in our relationship with Him. And, you know, when we begin to understand God's plan for us, we're going to be more than likely a little uncomfortable, mm-hmm. because we're going to be stepping out of our own comfort zone many times to accomplish what we think He is calling us to accomplish. And if you can have that already instilled in your heart from a young age, that God's calling me to do something that I don't see any way that I could, it could ever come about, but He's calling me to do it. And so I know that He's powerful enough to help me. I've heard about it from all these stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go forth and do it.
Yeah. Because it is vital that our kids understand that that same God that closed the lion's mouth is that same God who can help them stand in the face of a bully.
That's right.
And demonstrate love.
Yep.
And reach out to those kind of things. So I do think that is super important, that we dig into that one. So there's omnipotence. What about omnipresence? How do we teach that? How would you roll that out for kids? And why is that so important?
Well, I definitely, you know, omnipresence, which is the understanding that God is present everywhere all the time, that His Spirit is with us no matter where we are. I think this one is primarily used as a source of comfort for us. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, goes hand in hand with the power, omnipotent part, in that when we are called to do challenging things for God, we can always know that even if everybody else abandons us, everybody else looks at us and goes, "I wouldn't do that. You're crazy." But it's something, you know, God is calling you to do, and you know God wants to exhibit His power through, then, you know, you rely upon that fact that everybody could desert me and that would be okay because God is always present with me. And there are lots of ramifications for God's presence. I mean, obviously it gives us a deeper perspective about our own life of sin, you know, that God doesn't miss anything that we do, and helping kids to understand that, you know, what you do when you're alone or when nobody's looking, is not necessarily the case that nobody is looking, that God is there with you. And, you know, he wants us to honor Him in all of our actions, whether people are watching or not. Mm-hmm. But for me, again, I think the biggest thing is just comfort. I mean, you look at Paul and Silas in prison, you look at David, when he was on the run from Saul, look at the hardships of Job, or Elijah when he's up hiding in the cave after having defeated the prophets of Baal. All of those, you know, were probably pretty lonely times, but ultimately what got them through in every case was the knowledge that God was with them. He had a plan, and that he would take care of them. And I think that's very critical especially in a young child's life, because fear of being alone, is very real to kids. And if we can introduce them to the concept that God is with them, and then trust that God will reveal that to them. You know, we always say that, you know, well, just know that God is with you, and we kind of leave it at that. We should be praying for our kids that when we say that and they are alone, that the power of the Holy Spirit truly would come and comfort them and give them that assurance, an assurance that, you know, none of us can understand.
Right.
It's just knowing, you know, that He is there. And so I definitely encourage parents to, when you're talking about God being everywhere and with you, that you need to be praying that, you know, for the power of the Holy Spirit to really show Himself, because words can often just be words. But when they go home and they're up in their room at night and they're afraid or alone or whatever, when they do say, God, I know you're with me, that they would actually sense that he is there. And I know that God will do that. And boy, if you can develop that again as a youngster, if that's put inside your moral warehouse, then as you get older, just think of the problems or the trials that will help us with. I mean, we're all going to face, as we're growing up, social media and condemnation of others, or being ignored by others, or being hurt by others. And Satan wants to continuously whisper in our ear, yeah, you're all alone. Yeah. You know, you're all alone. You need to go find a remedy for this, because you're all alone. And if it's been built into a child's life ever since they were two or three, that no, I'm not alone. And then when I seek God, he does come, or God, he's always there, but he shows his presence to me. Then, you know, when you're in your teenage years and you're going through all those crazy hormonal emotions, that could be the one rock that you really tie yourself to, is, you know, I don't understand life. I don't understand why I'm feeling like this. I don't understand why other people treat me the way they do. But I know inside my heart that God is there, and he always will be.
I mean, if there's one thing that's going to counteract the culture of the like, and I have to live by the likes, you know, I watch so many preteens and teens get into this phase of everything that they do is revolved around how many likes they get. And just to know that God is with them and that he doesn't just like them, he loves them. And he is always there. To me, that's the antidote. Because, you know, we see in our world, you know, that even though these kids are connected by social media, they're still disconnected from so many other things, and loneliness is so high. Like you said, that, you know, getting into their spiritual warehouse and helping them have this as a bedrock of their faith, to know God is always with the creator of the universe, is always with me. I like how you point out, you know, Psalms 139, and that scripture is so powerful. I mean,
yeah. Let me read it real quick.
Yeah, please.
I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. I love that verse, because it speaks exactly to everything we've been talking about, that there's nowhere we can go that God is not there.
Yes. And I think sometimes we as leaders, we need that reminder.
No doubt.
I know a lot of leaders that feel lonely, that feel like, okay, God, where are you? I'm struggling to sense your presence right now, because, you know, I feel like I'm all alone. And what a great reminder. You know, that we can't escape him. He's always there. And so I think, you know, as I was prepping for this podcast and thinking through these three truths, how powerful they are in my own life to remind me that when I'm walking through the tougher waters and the tougher days, and when I'm struggling, that these are powerful in my own life to remind myself that he is with me. He's I've got his power at my access, that he promises that he'll provide me that, whatever I need, whatever I ask for, in his name, you know? But yet sometimes I don't know why we do it, but we push through on our own and thinking we can do it, on our own, and it doesn't work. So I think that's an important thing to help kids grab onto, because they're so worried about, will people like me? Will people care about who I am, to know that, God is that and so much more. So,
well, and I firmly believe that, you know, a lot of us who struggle with those types of things, but especially because, again, these are core elements of what we believe. And, you know, like we've talked about in the past, there's a short window to have values and truths to be planted inside of a human being's heart. And as we've talked about before, the research shows that almost 90% of our morals and values are formed, you know, during our childhood years.
Right.
And if we don't have a good understanding of these three things, then I think it is going to lead to a lot of unnecessary struggle in the future.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure. So anyway, we've got omniscience and omnipotence.
Yep.
And now.
Now we did omnipotence, omnipresence.
Yeah. Now omniscience. There we go. I got the Omni brothers playing shuffle on me.
Yes. So yes. They're all the triplets, so it's easy to get them confused.
Well, it helps if I had typed them on my notes the right order the second time.
Oh, there you go. That's fine.
So that's why I messed it up. All right. So omniscience, again, how do we teach this, and why again, is this part so important for kids to grab onto?
Well, I definitely, they all three go hand in hand. Omniscience and omnipresence, though, I think are two special ones that cling to each other, because omniscience is believing that God is all-knowing and that he's not just beside me wherever I go, but that he knows my heart, he knows my struggles, he knows my emotions, he knows my fears. And since there is nothing hidden from him in that regard, then nothing is going to surprise him. And if I am dealing with something in my life, whether it's a three-year-old that, you know, I'm just tired or whatever, and I get mad or I fall down and I'm upset, just to know that, you know what, we have a Savior who has experienced everything that we have experienced, and he knows what we're experiencing, and he wants to comfort us. And I think of, you know, some of the great stories of that, definitely David's, most of his life, you know, struggling with the loneliness, the fears, the anxiety, the guilt, you know, when he sinned. I think of Peter, and obviously he was known as a man of emotions, and his emotions and anxieties, you know, fluctuated all over the place. Mary and Martha, you think of the sorrow that they felt at the tomb. Gideon, who's one of my favorite characters, you know, just thinking about his inadequacy. I mean, here he is down on the threshing floor, and he describes himself as the least person in the least family in all of his tribe. And you know, that's a pretty bad, sad, I guess, sad place to be. You're thinking, I literally am the lowest of the low. Uh-huh. And who understands that? Who even cares that I feel this way? As I get into elementary school, older elementary and junior high, and kids are treating me bad, and I feel like I'm standing out and sticking out. I don't belong with such and such a crowd. I don't seem to belong anywhere. Mm-hmm. Who cares about me? And the Bible teaches that God does, Jesus does.
Yeah.
And he is there with us. And again, remember, if this is needs to be more than just head knowledge.
Yes.
It needs to be, well, I know that Jesus knows everything about me. That's fine. But it needs to be heart knowledge, because that's where the true comfort comes from.
Yes.
And again, I firmly believe that such a critical time in a person's life to put that in there, because that's when it forms in the heart. It becomes part of their emotional mindset. And if you have the opportunity to really in your heart believe that Jesus knows everything about me and he loves me even still. And Jesus knows everything about me and he created me to be this way. And so he's got a plan for me. And if I'm feeling lonely, that's okay. You know, Jesus felt lonely too, but he's with me and he understands my feelings and my emotions and my sorrows. And if you wrap all three of those up, really to me, that this is the essence of a good, a good self-concept.
Yes.
And because it's not wrapped around self, it's wrapped around God and who he is.
Yes.
And if you really put all three of these together and you realize from a very young early age that God has a plan for my life, that there are going to be difficult times that are going to come. I'm going to be emotionally challenged. It's going to be times where I'm, you know, going to want to quit and just feel like everybody's deserted me. There are going to be times when I'm going to look at things and I'm going to go, I'm all alone here. Everybody's deserted me. Nobody's joining me.
Right.
Or I'm put in front of a situation that's like, okay, I'm alone. I'm depressed. And this task that's in front of me, I have no idea. In fact, I think it's impossible for it to come about. Well, what I just described was the world's mindset.
Yes.
That's not the mindset of a believer, not the mindset of a child who's been raised understanding these three concepts, because they're going to be thinking, yeah, I'm depressed, but Jesus understands my emotions and he's going to help me work through those. Yes, I may feel alone, but I'm not. God is right here with me. And yes, that problem may seem like it's pretty big, in fact, impossible, but God says there's nothing impossible for him. And the Bible teaches me that he is more powerful than anything. And so I'm going to step forward in faith and watch the great things that he's going to do. And if we could arm our children more with that mentality about who they are in Christ, the sky's the limit for this generation and what they can accomplish.
Yes, so much yes. and that's, if we're going to go and create disciples who can be resilient, who can stand against or stand up to the culture, really to me, this is part of what I think when we read about putting on the whole armor of God, I think this is, you know, this is that truth that we wrap ourselves around and it holds it all together. And you stated that so well, that real life, this is how we want to help kids make this real to themselves so that they understand, and can grab onto. Man, I'm excited, Mike, because I think, again, this is, if we can get more leaders teaching these things and helping parents, to instill this deeper into their children, because it really needs to happen at younger ages, because of the attack of the enemy. It just seems like we've got to get after our younger kids and helping them. And you and your team at I See It Productions created an Easter curriculum that really starts to bring out the Omni brothers in the life of Jesus and focuses in on who he is and all of the Trinity and the power of that and the power of these Omni brothers in him. Tell us a little bit more about this idea. It's called Discovering Jesus is More, which I like that title. I like the investigative theme that I'm seeing in the graphics and stuff, where they can dig in a little deeper to this for a couple of weeks and to really kind of come at the Easter story a little bit differently, and to dig in at it a little bit differently, to realize who Jesus is and that he is more than we think.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this curriculum.
Well, it was really born out of, you know, a belief, obviously, of what we've talked about, that our viewpoint of God, if not instructed well as children, is limited. And no matter what we think about Jesus, no matter what we think about God, there's still infinitely more things we can know. We never stop learning about him. And so this particular study is just exploring the fact that Jesus is more than what we think. He's not in a box. And we just so happen to want to take a stab at the three Omni brothers. But it really ties in primarily with Palm Sunday and the whole concept that as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, everybody was very excited about him doing that. But the reason they were excited was because they didn't understand truly who he was.
Right.
You know, obviously they thought he was coming to be the king, earthly king, like King David was, that he was going to vanquish all of their foes, all of their problems that they've had with slavery and mistreatment and oppression and food problems and everything that he was going to take care of. And they were very excited about that fact. And I point out in the Bible story, you know, as he was coming into Jerusalem, the Bible says he paused and he began to weep because, you know, he knew that the praise that he was getting from these people right now was not a valid praise because they didn't understand who he was.
Right.
Right. These very same people who were praising him now in just a few short days would be calling for him to be crucified. And they didn't understand that he was a king. He was coming to be the king, but he was coming as a spiritual king to rule in the hearts of men, not sitting on a throne, an earthly throne, although someday that will happen. And that's just a great example of people thinking one thing about God and not understanding that there is so much more we need to know. And we can't just get discouraged because it's a lifetime of learning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, well, I don't know very much. Well, that's okay. We're all on that path of not knowing very much. We just know incrementally a little bit more than maybe somebody else. And, but we all got to start somewhere and dig into the Bible and really discover who Jesus is, discover the plan that he has for us and the life he wants us to live. And as we do that, then we will discover that what we know about now about Jesus is just a very, very, very small segment of what is to be known.
Yeah, right. And the more we help kids take a closer look and dig in, because, I think, you know, everybody has a, you know, even, you know, if you come to church a while, you start to get these preconceived ideas of who you think Jesus is. And even we can be misguided because of how we think.
That's a good point.
The more we dig into his word and the more we let the Holy Spirit enlighten us and open our eyes to things, we do get to see him, you know, and through all those experiences, through those hard times, through those times of loneliness, through those struggles, obviously every time you see God in a different light, in a different way, you know, I had a kid ask me one time, why did this bad thing happen to my family? And you know, obviously those are never easy answers and there's no pat answer. But one of the truths that I tried to bring out to him is the fact that, again, God is in control. He has power to take care of you. He's always with you. He never left you in the middle of this problem. But now guess what? You have, and you're going to get to see God in a different way than anybody else is going to see him. And you're going to have a story to tell about him from a different viewpoint that nobody else is going to have. And I think that's why digging in and taking a look, you know, at these two lessons, I do think that it's going to help leaders walk kids through a process of learning and thinking and interacting and taking a closer look at who Jesus is. And not just, oh, it's Palm Sunday. Oh, it's Easter. Let's just, you know, go on cruise control with the story.
Which we all know it. No, I agree.
So tell us a little bit more of the about the elements in the curriculum and that kind of thing. So people can get a bigger idea of what this is, what's all in here.
Yeah, not obviously. If you go to the website, you'll see that we have a couple of different versions. We've got a Sunday school version as well as a children's worship version. And both of the versions contain the same video elements. It's just how the layout and kind of the way it's discussed is going to be a little bit different. But there's two video components. There is a skit with three kids that have a YouTube channel. They answer questions that kids had when they were their age. And if we're familiar with our Christmas series that we did, it's the same premise where these three high school kids get sucked into the cartoon world and they go on an adventure to learn more about these three aspects of God. And then we have the animated Bible story. And obviously the first one is focusing on Palm Sunday and that thing that we just talked about, the concept. And then Easter will definitely be a strong salvation message, really helping kids understand why Jesus had to die on the cross. Not just that he did, but why did he have to do that? And then obviously there's the same skit element with that. And we provide, for the kids' worship, we provide all the small group activities. We provide take-home activities. And there's a bundle pack that you can also purchase that Yancey was so gracious to offer to us. Yeah. She has her brand new Easter song that's part of that bundle pack, as well as another Easter song. And then there's some bonus items on that with like a roll-in and some animation segments for the exclamation point and Bible verse and things like that. And then we're doing something a little bit different. We had a lot of people ask with our Christmas series, you know, what do you have for preschool? And so we wrote something separate for the preschool. We all looked at it and felt like especially for fours and fives, that the videos are enough that captivate a kid's attention span. And then through activities and questions that are brought out afterwards geared toward preschoolers, that they definitely could learn a lot from it. So there's an added on if we've separated it all out. So if you just want the children's worship, that's it. You know, it's $29. The add-on bundle for Yancey's songs and the other stuff is $19. The preschool add-on, I think, is $9. Yep. You know, for those lessons. And so my heart really was, you'll notice if you use the Christmas, that this is significantly less than what Christmas was, and just really wanted to get it out there and make it available to every size church. And I know that oftentimes with the economy and things that people are struggling with, you know, even $29 can be a stretch. And just to try and, but I think if people get it, that they'll see an incredible value for those $29.
Well, as I was looking through it, there's a lot of value in there. So it's definitely worth it. And it's something that, any size church definitely can use. And the formats, I think that's fantastic. That was a great idea to offer it both ways, sir. That's fantastic. So, and you can't go wrong with some of the Yancey stuff anyway. So she's awesome. So,
that's for sure.
I think that's going to be great. So, I hope people, you know, listen, guys, I hope that first of all, if you need to go back and do some study on the Omni Brothers and make them more real to you, I hope you'll dig in and do that. Take a closer look there for yourself. But I do hope you'll start thinking of ways that you can bring that out into your children's ministry and with your discipleship of children, because it is important that we get these bedrock truths into their lives. And then if you're looking for Easter curriculum, and you want something that you can really get into and use and utilize in a variety of different ways, take a look. Head over to iSeeItProductions.com, and we'll put a link in the show notes to the Easter curriculum specifically so that you can go right to it and check it out. Mike, thanks for sharing your heart. Thanks for sharing this resource with us. We really appreciate the time that you make to come on the KMC and share this with us.
Thank you. Well, I've always deem it a privilege and a pleasure, as you know, to get on and speak with you first, and then obviously with your audience as well, because you've got so many great things going. And I know that the people who listen to you always come very expectant of hearing something that will be of value to them. So I'm honored that you asked me on, that people might think that what I say has some has some value too. So I appreciate that.
Has a lot of value. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Always encouraged. So thanks again. And thank you for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Thanks for your support, guys. And again, if there's anything I can do for you, I'm here for you. For prayer, for encouragement, coaching, mentoring, for curriculum ideas, resources, feel free to reach out to me, reach out in the community and interact. If you're not part of the Facebook group, we encourage you to join that. Don't forget to answer the questions. People don't believe me when I say, if you don't answer the questions, I don't always hit the accept button, because leaders ought to follow directions. Come on, people. It's funny every time. So anyway, we want you to be a part of our community, because we want to make the kingdom stronger and we want to reach more for the glory of God. So thanks again for listening. We got many more great editions and episodes coming up here down the road. So keep your eye. If you haven't subscribed yet, do that. So that way you don't miss any episodes of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. So thanks again for listening, and we'll look forward to another edition real soon. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.